Hi, I'm Jeannie Becker. Welcome to Beyond Style Matters. I've spent decades working in fashion's trenches, seen the best and the worst of human style, and had the opportunity to get up close and personal with some of the world's most intriguing characters. What I've learned about truly great style is that it goes far beyond what we wear. It's about the way we move through the world. On this episode, I talk about designer family ties and the synergy between fashion and interiors with Smythe designers Andrea Lenster and Christy Smythe and interior designer Tommy Smythe. I'm always curious about how aesthetic sensibilities develop, what it is about someone's upbringing that gives them such a keen eye for shapes and colors and details. Canada's celebrated Smythe label that's dressed style icons from Kate Middleton and Meghan Markle to Nicole Kidman and Sarah Jessica Parker is designed by Toronto's Andrea Lenster and Christy Smythe, two besties who started their signature impeccably tailored jacket line back in 2004. 16 years later, the lines blossomed and expanded into an eclectic, full ready-to-wear collection. Tommy Smythe is one of Canada's best-loved interior designers. Charming and charismatic, he's parlayed his talents into TV presenting over the years and earned a reputation of injecting a soulful, sometimes whimsical edge into the interiors he masterminds, joyfully walking the line between vintage and modern with his inimitable brand of savvy. Tommy is Christy Smythe's big brother, so evidently, even though their great-grandfather was hockey world legend Conn Smythe, designer genes run in the family. Absolutely thrilled to have the three of you on Beyond Style Matters. Andrea and Christy, you have brought to the world of Canadian fashion via Smythe. So wonderful because you really brought a sense of traditionalism to Canadian fashion. Your riffs on wonderful eras of days gone by through the jackets and beautiful coats that you produce really brought, I think, Canadian fashion to a whole new level, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And for Tommy, you really have been have brought a great sense of sunshine to our industry, to the whole world of fashion, style, interior designs. Your personality has been just incomparable, and certainly the ideas that you have injected into home decor have stuck with us because you've brought such a great sense of whimsy as well to everything. So, thank you for all that. But what I'm so interested in is knowing, how did you guys grow up? I mean, did you always have such a great sense of style growing up? I know Andrea and Christy, you guys were friends in high school, obviously always loved fashion. I mean, did you always feel that you were destined to work in that arena?
Yes and no. I think I maybe felt destined, but I wasn't encouraged by the adults throughout my life. I didn't really understand that it was a career choice until much later. So I came to it in a circuitous way, but it took me to be an adult and to understand that you want to have a lot of passion for what you do every day, because a working life is a long life, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really understand as a young girl that I could pursue it. So it was a hobby. I used to keep scrapbooks of every show and every season and what I liked. I did my own edits. So it was like a hobby for me for a long time.
And for Christy?
I would say also, Andrea and I, we sort of fell for each other. We were in different grades, but in the same high school, and we ended up in the same math class. And even though we wore a uniform, we recognized each other's style. And in math class, when we were supposed to be paying attention, we were sketching our prom dresses together. So we always had this connection, the two of us, to fashion. But I would agree with Andrea's statement that I never saw it as a career until later, until we, were finished university and had started first careers. But we were always doing things in our spare time, each of us, Andrea scrapbooking, I was knitting snowboarding hats. I mean, there were things that we were doing that always connected both of us to that area, you know, and then we knew it was our path. We just didn't know how to get there quickly enough.
And you both brought such a wonderful, diverse experiences, you know, from what you were doing, Christy, living in New York and studying at Parsons, working at The Gap. Andrea, you were a great business mind. And, and to be able to really bring those synergies together, fabulous. For you, Tommy, I mean, I'm surprised you didn't grow up wanting to be a hockey player. What happened there?
Well, you know what, Jeannie? I have a very different answer to that question because I actually, and Christy will corroborate this, thought that I would be a fashion designer. I was always, from an extremely early age, super, super into fashion. And, you know, I grew up really, in a way, identifying with fashionable people who were in my orbit. You know, my grandmother was very fashionable. My Aunt Liz was really into clothes and was a really unique character. And then into my teens, you know, I fell in love with vintage fashion. And I spent all of my time in Kensington Market trying to find cool clothes to wear. I had this fringe suede jacket that I was obsessed with. And then into my 20s, you know, in coming out as a gay man in the Toronto scene, I really was attracted to and ended up becoming friends with people who were like-minded in that way. And the crazy thing, like the really interesting thing about being in Toronto in the late 80s and early 90s is that as how many of us went into creative business and in particular fashion from that time period. Like I was dancing on top of speakers with Kirk Pickersgill and Stephen Wong of Greta Constantine when I was 22 years old. Dean and Dan Caton were fixtures on the scene and in my social group. Tu Li, you know, there were multitudes of people who were hugely influential in terms of my early nightlife life, who then went on to these spectacularly stellar creative careers. So it's always been in me. And you know, I segued into interior design because it was something that just came really supernaturally to me. And my path diverged from fashion into interiors just in a really completely organic way. And that's where I ended up. But I'm still very much connected to the world of fashion.
I'm interested in the synergies between fashion and interiors, obviously, always, because it's something that we all live with so intimately, the way we dress and the way we live. Does one really play on the other? I mean, what follows what, do you feel? Or is it just, you know, two things that kind of happen simultaneously? Sense of style in terms of sartorial style, sense of style in terms of, you know, interiors and lifestyle.
I'll come at it from a very personal perspective, Jeannie. You know, I can tell you that some of my favorite interior spaces through the eras, through the decades of interior design, have been the personal homes of fashion designers. I idolized Bill Blass. When he died, I was at Sotheby's in New York at the estate auction of his belongings from his farm and his famous Sutton Place apartment. Yeah. I have the alarm clock from beside his bed. I have a beautiful magnifying glass from the farm. And I have a collection of letter openers, a couple of which I gifted to mentors of mine in the interior design business.
So Bill Blass's style, let's say, and the way he lived, obviously a great inspiration to you. Why? Was it that strong nod to classic traditionalism that he really was so famous for?
It was absolutely that. It was his, you know, before there was Ralph Lauren, really there was Bill Blass doing a holistic life of design. So he was as concerned with the way he looked, the way he spoke, the way he dressed, as he was with the way he lived in his homes. So because he was so scholarly in his approach to all of that, he developed relationships with antiques dealers and art dealers in, you know, in England and in the East Coast of the United States, and some of the best people in the business in terms of interior designers he worked with and collaborated with. So it was really his approach that I was attracted to. It was this idea that design or interior design is one aspect of a bigger life. So it's about everything you do. It's about everything you see. And it's about the people that you bring into your environment and what you present to them.
I remember when Andrea and Christy first started Smythe, I was editor-in-chief of FQ magazine. So it must have been like in 2004, we started magazine 2003. That's when you started your label. And I remember this brilliant little jacket that I still have. I want you to know, because I hold on to those wonderful things that I really believe represent great design in my closet. I will never throw it out, whether it fits or it doesn't. White and brown houndstooth little jacket. It was almost like a little riding jacket. It sort of flared a little bit at the hip. It's just the most precious. And I remember being so delighted and a kind of surprised, because I mean, there have been a healthy handful of wonderful Canadian designers over the years, to be sure, but I'd rarely seen that level of proficiency in terms of technique, in terms of direction, in terms of a very strong sense of editing that had gone into that jacket. And the fact that it was, for two young women who had just started this design business in Toronto, I was just absolutely charmed. Gives one such a strong point of view. What does it have to do with upbringing, the education? Tell me.
It was what we wanted. It's what we liked, especially in the beginning when you could be so pure. And we wanted to wear everything. Now we have a sort of a commercial mindset where it's what sells and what we want to wear. And we try and manage both things. But at the beginning, it was what did we want? How did we want it to fit? And we were naive enough and small enough to not care about anything else. And we were lucky that enough people agreed. And so it was just came from a pure place of, I have this in my mind and I can't find it in the market.
I love this great quote, which is, the smartest people are not the people with all the answers. They're the people with all the questions. And I will say objectively about Christy and Andrea, when they first started in the business, they came to the table with a huge amount of knowledge and obviously scads of style. But you two, every time you wanted to learn something or explore something that you did not necessarily know how to do, you reached out to other people in your orbit and in the fashion industry and received enormous generosity in return in terms of help. And I will say, Jeannie, I think that scholarship and an ability to ask for assistance are probably the two key things to success in creative pursuits of any kind. I had mentors. I have them still. I will never know everything there is to know about what I do for a living. I learn something every single day I go to work. And I will always be, humble enough to ask the questions if I don't know the answer. So I've observed Christy and Andrea do that over the years. They do a lot less of it now than they did in the beginning, of course. But that was, I think, part of the secret to your success, wouldn't you both say?
Well, definitely. I love that.
I'll take that.
I'll take it. I would also add just to what Andrea was saying that, I had come back to Toronto from working at The Gap, where we had so many trend resources and so much activity in the design process that when Andrea and I started together, we decided to really, as she said, create things that we wanted in our own closet and not to listen to trends or trend forecasting. We made a decision not to do that, which we still don't. And I think that has kept our vision very consistent. And we are always so happy when somebody says to someone else, is that a Smythe jacket? That it's recognizable as a Smythe blazer. That is, for us, that makes us proud.
I think that it's just, again, we're good partners because we share an aesthetic. I mean, it's not identical, but we share an aesthetic and it's pretty classic in a lot of ways.
Okay, now here's something that I have long said, and I'm wondering how you all really feel about this. As Canadians, because you're all three proudly Canadian, do you feel sometimes that you've had to scream twice as loud to get the recognition that you deserve? It's almost like you have to scream twice as loud for half the money, that's what I found anyway. It's a funny kind of situation to be in. I mean, you do, it is possible to get recognition. And Christy and Andrea, you've had an amazing kind of success on the international stage with some of the world's great style icons wearing your garments, like obviously the Duchess of Cambridge and so many others. But has it been an especially tough nut to crack getting out of that Canadian bubble?
Yeah, I'd say it's not because we're Canadian. I think being Canadian is such an asset. It's because we're based in Canada. That makes things difficult. It sure does. The international brand recognition is something that, you know, when we have gained some sort of notoriety, it is because someone very notable outside of Canada has worn us. It's a struggle that a lot of fashion designers in this country face, and it's some of them have picked up and moved, and it's been amazing. And some have stayed and, you know, turned away, and we're kind of turned away and done something different because it's too difficult. There's not a huge audience here. The consumerism isn't as, you know, lucrative here maybe, which is a nice thing about Canada. But it's a challenge to be based in Canada, I would say.
And what about for you, Tommy? How do you feel about it?
I would say maybe for interior design, a little less so. I find, you know, I'm able to be a little bit more nimble in that way. But I also agree with Andrea that, you know, being based in Canada can sometimes be a little difficult. For us too, you know, in interior design, it's really a matter of numbers. It's the same for my media life. You know, the amount of money that you make here is directly related to the number of people who live here and who you sell to. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot more. What I do is definitely a luxury item. Being able to afford an interior designer to design your home is a luxury item. And, you know, Andrea and Christie's product is a lot more accessible than mine in that way. But there are more rich people in the United States or in Europe than there are in Canada who can afford an interior designer. So the pool is smaller. And yet, you know, there are a lot of people competing for the same projects and gigs. So yes, it's a challenge in some ways, but it also, we get hired often for this overarching sort of idea that the rest of the world has about Canadians, that we're authentic and that we're honest and that we're hardworking. And those things are massive assets in terms of edging, you know, out over the competition internationally, for sure. I've worked, you know, all over the place in Europe and in the United States and in Canada. And, you know, yeah, I've definitely made less money than my American counterparts doing so. But
sir, I did want to add, though, just when Tommy said luxury, and I thought, well, but none of us have left. We all could have picked up and left.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've had opportunities to work in New York.
Sure. It's a luxury to live in Canada. And I think I'll speak for myself, but I'm willing to forgo some of the brand recognition and possibly the growing the business bigger to be able to live in this country. It's worth it.
How do you feel that what we've been going through this past year, which has been pretty treacherous and scary for so many of us, how do you feel that may affect appetites for things like, you know, luxurious home design or true high quality clothing? How do you think it's changed us as consumers?
I'd say it makes us more thoughtful about every decision, purchasing decision we make. And I think my mentality is not to be wasteful.
I was just going to say, you know, I totally agree. I think that we're more conscious, but also I'm thankful that our brand has never been fast fashion. We endeavor to have a product that is, you know, longstanding and has quality and detail and is in people's closets for a long time. And I think that feeds into, I think people's choices are going to be about investing in pieces that they care about and that don't circle out of their closet, but stay in their closet, that are versatile. And also that you're thinking about your planet and your people and your environment and your consumerism more, I think coming out of this experience this year.
I definitely would agree with my sisters on that. I say sisters because Andrea really is the third Smythe sibling.
Very nice.
Before Christy and I had stepsisters, Andrea really was the third sibling. So I agree with my siblings in the sense that, you know, I think people are being more thoughtful. The central sort of theme of what I try to do as a creative person in the realm of interior design is based on three pillars, which are basically inspiration, scholarship, and courage. And, you know, that middle pillar, scholarship, is really important. I try to encourage my clients that, you know, when I work with them, we're on a journey. And a huge part of that journey is knowing everything that you can know about the things that you bring into your daily life. So, you know, is it made with the best materials? Is it made, you know, ethically? Is it made in a way that will serve you in the way that it needs to? And is it made with the best possible design? Is it original? Is it authentic? And so all of those things, I think, are, you know, pushing out some of those things that feel a little more generic and a little less authentic. And luxury goods, Jeannie, I mean, I've always been fascinated with, you know, Hermes and Louis Vuitton and Gucci and all of the Prada, all of the big sort of like luxury labels. I do worry about the evolution of those things as we move forward. The pendulum swung in a way that luxury goods became fast fashion in a way. They were just really expensive fast fashion. And everybody was wearing the same things and had the same wallet and the same shoe. And, you know, I think that luxury brands will probably now, after this global pandemic and the experiences that we've had, maybe move back to a slightly more artisanal place. I think that the idea of everybody having that must-have item for the season is probably going to segue or sort of evolve into everybody having to have something that's really special and unique versus that same thing that everyone wants and clamors for.
Yeah, it's obviously a sensibility that less really is more. How would you suggest, okay, I'll start with the gals first, Christy and Andrea. How would you suggest somebody approach this kind of new age or new awareness if they haven't yet even had a chance to go out much? And these days, none of us are really having a chance to go out much. But people who really believe in the philosophy that you all are really talking about and really want to start perhaps seeing their closets, and later I'll ask you, Tommy, their homes through that particular lens, what would you suggest they do?
Look in your own closet. I mean, I'm a huge editor, purger. I really did do a lot of purging during COVID, and I rediscovered some, you know, things that are amazing. And then I did buy some really nice loungewear because I needed some really nice loungewear. So it's just bringing into your attention what you need, what's superfluous, paring it down. For me, Christy keeps everything. I don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're allowed to, if you can, you're allowed to treat yourself to something that you're going to use. And those, what we're going to use in the immediate future changed. You know, I have a lot of beautiful heels that haven't been worn. I haven't worn a heel, I don't even know, in, you know, 6 months or something. Yeah. So I hope I get to wear them, but it's, for me right now, I can invest in a really nice slide because that's what I'm living in. So it's not that you can't indulge yourself, but obviously you want to indulge yourself in a little bit of more of a practical way right now and rediscover what's already in your closet has been huge. Well, our daughters are really into thrifting right now. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, what was a huge part of our history together. But, and then they're doing alterations and renovations, and we did tie dyeing, and we chop things, and we fold things, and we stitch them, and we embroider on them. And so there's a lot of kind of crafting going on it, on, you know, vintage clothing and so upcycling.
And nostalgic crafting, gimping and beading and a lot of that happening.
But you're feeling obviously good about the stash that you already have, and you're proceeding with caution, but it's not like anyone's going to stop shopping anytime soon.
No. Oh, I did want to add actually one last thing before Tommy chimes in. Tommy has always said, buy the best and it only hurts once. And that does speak to buying something that you really, really love and want and has quality behind it. And I don't think Andrea and I talk about that statement all the time. We laugh about it and talk about it. And also, we've never regretted that type of purchase, like where you just say, you know what, I love it. I really love it. It is expensive. I shouldn't be doing it. But when you do it, you actually end up wearing and using that piece for so long.
By the cost, by the number of wears.
That's right.
That's my math.
Fashion fact.
That is such good practical advice, Andrea.
What about for you, Tommy? How do you think this whole, you know, year that we've been struggling through really is going to affect the way that we're going to want to live in our homes, or the way our homes will be working for us?
It's such a big question, Jeannie. And, you know, it's something that I have spent a great deal of time thinking about. I plan to write a little bit about my thoughts on that during this time and in getting those thoughts together. Here's a couple of things just sort of off the top. I think at our core, the way that we express ourselves sartorially or in our homes with the things that we choose to present are directly connected to our feelings of self-esteem and our feelings of connectivity and happiness. It is how we connect. It's a way in which we connect with other people. When you invite people into your home, which we have not been able to do, having those people in your home and showing them your version of the expression of yourself through the arrangement of the things that you have in your home is important in terms of human connection. Just as the way that you dress when you're going to see someone, whether it's an individual person, a small group, or at a party, is an expression of respect for those people. It's an expression of who you are, what you're thinking, how you're feeling at the moment. Fashion is very cyclical and it's very seasonal. We haven't had seasons or cycles during COVID. That's been difficult. I feel like we're in this kind of very insular, very isolated, seasonless world right now. And I think the great challenge moving forward, getting through the end of this, is going to be to find ways in which we can express ourselves in those ways and share in those ways in different ways. So I have been getting dressed up for Zoom calls, sometimes in funny ways. Like sometimes I'll just put on, you know, a wig, you know, just to make people laugh when they see me appear on their screen. But I've also been putting on a collared shirt and a blazer just to go downstairs to my desk to work for the day, because that matters to me. How I dress directly affects how I feel. And so I think people have forgotten to give themselves that on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So my recommendation would be dress up once in a while, even if it's just for your kids and your husband mm-hmm. or your boyfriend or girlfriend or your dog. Mm-hmm. Do it, because there are endorphins that are created from that. You feel better from that.
Yeah. There's no question that dressing up has incredible transformational qualities to it and really can take you to a whole other place psychologically. I mean, we've seen that so often. So yeah, it is a great exercise in kind of soul surfing. And
I think so.
I think really important. What are you looking forward to the most coming up in terms of creative projects, in terms of stuff you're just getting excited about?
I'm looking forward to eating in a restaurant.
Oh, you haven't been back?
I miss that so much. That's not creative projects. I'm also looking coming from the perspective of the Smythe brand, you know, we've designing Spring 21, which we're about to shoot next week. It's interesting because who knows where we'll be mm-hmm. by the time that collection ships. So Christy and I had a mind towards more casual dressing, softer dressing. And we don't know if people will be out and about and wanting, you know, let's face it, a tailored blazer isn't the first thing on, well, maybe on Tommy's list, but not on everyone's list. I am really looking forward to the pendulum swinging back. I think it's going to take 18 months or a year to where we are all done with our loose flowy clothing and we want to go back to very tailored dressing. And I think there will be a reaction, at, you know, out in the future. And for me, that's our DNA. That's our, you know, that's that I'm looking forward to. It's a long goal.
Yeah, I'm looking wearing an outfit that has 10 pieces. I want to be layered. I want so many layered pieces. I really am looking forward to that. And I also think that Spring 21, this collection, will be quite sentimental to us because we designed it during COVID. And that was a crazy period in our friendship, our business. And
we were so strict.
We
went back to the sort of philosophy of when we started the business, which is if we couldn't get 10 meters of sampling and the mill came back and said, you have to take 50 meter rolls, we said, no, thank you. And we were so cost conscious because sampling in our business is the most expensive part. And it was fun to have limits again.
That's right.
It was really fun and interesting. And I think, you know, I hate to use the silver lining overused phrase of COVID, but it goes back to everybody slowed down, kind of took a traditional approach to life, a more hearkening back to the olden days. And it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I know. It was certainly fun at the beginning of it for me. Yeah. And now I'm getting a little bit, okay. But maybe it is the new normal. And obviously we do have to embrace it. Tommy, for you, I mean, are you working on a book? Sounds like the cogs are really turning there.
Oh, I hope my editor isn't listening because I'm so behind on the book. But yes, I am working on a book. I found it very difficult to write during this time because I also started a new business just 2 weeks before lockdown happened. So, you know, leaving Sarah Richardson Design was a big step for me. I've turned 50 during COVID. A lot of change has happened for me during this time where otherwise nothing's changed. So it's been a real dichotomy for me. But I would say, you know, the one thing that I'm most looking forward to is really getting back to work outside of my own hometown. You know, I've done so much work in recent years in cities and places like Chester, Nova Scotia, and Boston, and Connecticut, and England. And I have two projects potentially that, as soon as we're able to travel, will really ramp up for me, one in Spain and one in Colorado. For me, it's this managing impatience thing, which is funny because one of my big bumper stickers has always been impatience is the enemy of good design, which I truly believe. But I've been so impatient to get out into the world and sink my teeth into projects in different regions where I can really learn about where I am. I've never designed a lodge in Colorado. And the prospect of that for me is so exciting and so interesting because I can really learn about that place and that region and the terrain there and try to translate that in terms of an interior that will really, you know, delight my clients. So that's, for me, that's it. Just getting out. I got to get out.
you got to get out of this place. Listen, you all have inspired me greatly. I mean, even before this conversation, but yeah, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And it sounds like all three of you are just, you know, really chomping at the bit to get out there and strut your stuff. And you've been doing it so beautifully for all these years. I look forward to a whole lot more. Thank you so much for this. Such a joy to talk to all of you, and continued success.
Thank you so much, Jeannie.
I just want to say before we let you go, how much you are loved, not just by your
country, not just
by the international fashion community, but how much you are loved by our family. You have always been so supportive, so encouraging, so happy for all of us, all three of us, when we've achieved our successes in our work lives. So thank you from us, and know how much we really love you. We do.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. To see video versions of the podcasts, check out tsc.ca/stylematters. You can watch Style Matters Thursday on TSC or on the tsc.ca website. New episodes of Beyond Style Matters will be coming at you every Monday. Till next time, I'm Jeannie Becker.